fill in the blank. Did everyone understand that? So you're writing on a piece of paper, I will be successful if dot, 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 dot. Think about currently, think about in the future, think about anything. But the first thing that comes to your mind, and I'm not looking for super spiritual answers, I'm just, whatever comes to your mind. Have you done it, Mariska? Good job. I think everyone's here. Okay. Okay, great. Tonight we're going to be continuing our series on Secure in Heart. I hope you are all enjoying it. I really have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed having the women together and just being together and discussing afterwards what we're learning. And tonight what we're going to be talking about, what it means to be successful. Because I know as women, we all want our lives to count, right? We all want to be significant. I mean, most women, when they study the Bible, they say, I love that we get to have a purpose. You know, none of us want to feel like a failure. I mean, does anybody in this room feel like, man, I don't mind feeling like a failure? Nobody wants to die and think, well, it didn't really matter that I was on earth or not. We want to have significance, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give you the point of the sermon right at the beginning. So that if you walk out of here tonight and you don't remember anything, you're going to remember the point of the sermon, okay? That if we want to walk securely with God, I'm going to give you the key. You have to make your walk with God the true measure of your success and not worldly accomplishments. Okay, let me say this again. If you want to be a woman without insecurity, you have to make your walk with God your true measure of success and not worldly accomplishments. Did you all get that? We will come back to it, but I thought, let me start with that because that is the most important point of the sermon. Okay, so if you get that, you've got the sermon. But you know, there are many analogies in the Bible, you know, of the Christian life. You know, you've got the whole marriage analogy. You've got the marathon, running a race. But there's one analogy which I really appreciate in the Bible, and it's quite dominant in the Bible, is that our Christian life is like a walk. You know, the Bible starts with Adam and Eve. And who's walking with Adam and Eve? It's God. You know, then it ends in Revelations with the nations walking in the light of God. You know, if you go back to Genesis, you get Enoch. The Bible says he walks with God and then walks straight into heaven, which would be wonderful. You know, after Enoch comes Noah. And it says that Noah was saved because of his walk with God. And then Abraham, I mean, it talks about how Abraham was called by God to walk blamelessly before him. You know, even in the New Testament, you know, in the book of John, there are many, many times it talks about walking in the light, being cleansed by Jesus' blood. You know, love for God means walking in obedience. I mean, the famous one, which so many people wear around their arms, is whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You know, in fact, the Bible says that a quality of our walk will determine our Christianity. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. You know, in order for us to walk securely and not to be insecure, your walk with God has to be the true measure of success. Let's go to God and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you that we can get together as women and just talk about what it means to be significant and what it means to be successful, Lord. I pray that you're with me as I preach your scriptures, Father. Please give me the words. And I pray that we will be impacted by something in the lesson tonight. I love you and I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question is, what causes us to walk insecurely? And that's when we use the wrong measures of success. Now, this is where I'm going to ask you to participate. Okay, who is brave enough to stand up and tell me what they wrote initially on their papers about, I would be successful if? Anybody? Mariska. Okay, did you hear that? She said, I will. Oh, just come on. Okay,
I said, I think I'd be more successful if I believed in myself more.
Okay. Marika.
I said, if I'm content with what I have and grown who I want to become.
Okay. Anybody else? Benita. If you can't scream, that's fine too. Anybody else?
I said if I could achieve the goals that I set for myself.
Okay. Anybody? I actually put this question on Facebook. So I will tell some what some of the answers were.
I said if I am more disciplined in all areas of my life.
Anybody else? I mean, maybe somebody wrote, if I have a BMW. I mean, anything. I don't mind. Okay. Okay, you could. Yeah, if you had more money, please. That is a good one. I feel like Oprah. You know how Oprah's people run around.
Yes, I will be successful if I stop thinking things through and start acting.
Okay. Anybody else on this row? Going down. Anybody? Anybody? Last chance. Okay, well, some of my answers on Facebook was being a mom to AJ. Thank you, Berlin. Being content. Learning the secret of contentment, that was another one. Being happy and making other people happy as well, that was the other one. But, you know, I think all of us know that most of us grew up in an environment that what was success is getting good marks at school, you know, being great at an athlete at school, you know, all those kids. I don't know in your school, but, man, every Friday, people would be honored for their sporting achievements or their academics or their musical achievements. I think getting degrees, you know, it's amazing. I'm at UCT and, you know, I'll ask people, so what do you do? What are you studying? And people will say, oh, no, BA. And I'll say, oh, okay, cool. You know, and then a lot of the girls on campus are studying actuarial science. Now, this is like the top math program. And whenever someone says that to me, I say, wow, my goodness, you're smart. And in my heart, there's a differentiation between a BA and actuarial science. And I definitely give them more credit for that. I think lots of money. I mean, if you have lots and lots of money, you will be successful. I think even now, what I equate with success is title. You know, if you are a doctor or a professional, I definitely think, wow, you must be successful. Another thing that I find successful is these go-to people. I don't know if you know what a go-to person is, but these people that if you have a question on a certain subject, you should ask them. Jane. The now says Jane. But I think, you know one of those people that, oh, no, you must ask her. Or, you know, you've got something wrong with you and everyone says, go to Nelly. She'll take your blood and do your you know those people. And I think, and I was thinking about it because this is a real struggle for me, wanting to be successful. It really is. I mean, when we were planning the lessons, Lisa said, Maura, you should speak on this topic. Because, yes, this is my struggle. I want to be successful. I want to be significant. And I was thinking about it and praying about it, that really, I am the most average person I know. I am not good in anything. I mean, I'm fine at everything, but I'm not good at anything. You know, I'm not a great singer. I'm not a great athlete. I mean, I can do it, but I'm not like Steph standing up there or Lisa with her drawing or, you know, all these creative people. So I think when someone excels in an area, I feel like, wow, they are successful. But here's the problem. You see, this worldly success is wonderful, but it's false success. Because true success has nothing to do with worldly accomplishments. Let's go over to Psalm 17, verse 14. It says, are we there? Psalm 17, verse 14. It says, O Lord, by your hand save me from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life. You know, worldliness has to do with a determination to be rewarded in this life by adopting the standards of this world. Because that's what it is. I mean, we want to have lots of money. Why? To live comfortably. You know, we want recognition from people. Why? Because it feels good. It feels good when people say to you, wow. You know, want to be around you. I mean, it feels good. You're rewarded by this life. And what's interesting is that in James 4, verse 4, Jesus says, James makes the point that love for this world is hatred towards God. And I was thinking of that, you know, the reason why is that there are two totally different standards. There's God's standards, and then there's the world's standards. And the world's standard of success is about being beautiful. You know, it's about titles. It's about living in the right suburbs. It's about getting married and dating the cute guy, you know, for the campus students. It is. I mean, you walk around campus with a cute guy and everyone, wow. And we like it. It's about wearing the right clothes and the name tags. And that's what the world says is being successful. You know, it's things that bring you, you know, praise. You can touch these things. You can boast about them. People can see them. You can measure them. It's easy to measure success. You know, you think of the people, the more fame you have, the more successful you are. It's measurable. Whereas God's standard or spiritual success, it's about inner beauty. It's about personal growth. There is no measure. I mean, not many people will come up to you and say, sure, you are patient today. You've really grown. It's not measurable. There is no rating. It's between you and God. And God says you cannot devote your heart to both. You can't. Because when you're running after worldly success, you can't also be running after spiritual success. They're too opposing. But what I have noticed, though, is that when you devote yourself to God, sometimes he does give you worldly success. Not all the time. And I think sometimes we deceive ourselves thinking, I know, I'm going to run after God so I can get the stuff that I want, okay? And that's when God says, absolutely not. But when we devote ourselves to running after God and running after his success, sometimes he does give us worldly success. But I have never, ever seen someone run after worldly success and get spiritual success. You can't. You always see people running after worldly success and they just get further and further away from God. And I think that's why in Luke 9, Jesus says, you know, we have a choice. Either we can have our life here and have it. Or we can lose our life here and gain it in heaven. And I think sometimes, you know, when someone doesn't want to follow God, I say to them, live your life. Do whatever you can because this is it. But as disciples, God says we have to lose our life here to gain it in heaven. True success has nothing to do with worldly accomplishments. I think the person in the Bible that amazed me, and I've been studying him out, is Paul. You know, go over to Philippians 3. Are you with me? Philippians 3, I'm going to 4b, just cut down to the beginning of the paragraph. It says, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. You know, Paul... Now, I know for some of us, we read this and we think, wow, so exciting. I don't want any of those things. But I think what you've got to understand is that Paul was, I mean, the Israelites, or the people of God in the Old Testament, I mean, they were the only ones going to heaven. And to be a part of them was so important. And to have, you know, pure blood and be from an original tribe and not be... any related to inbreeding or intermarriage from other tribes was special. And here Paul says, man, I am pure blood Israelite. I come from the original God's people. You know, and not only that, I have trained to be a Pharisee. Now they had grueling training. And he had trained, he had got the top degree. So he has got his PhD in scripture, okay? You know, he says, man, I have more zeal. I've been persecuting people because I know what I believed. I mean, he was a man full of conviction, okay? So in terms of worldly standards for the Israelites, Paul was very successful. Now look what he says when God steps in verse 7. He says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know, I think this is so challenging. Here Paul says, man, while all of those things now are rubbish, absolute rubbish in compared to knowing Christ, I give it all up. And I don't know about you, but I feel very challenged by that. You know, my few accomplishments which I have, I don't feel like they're rubbish. I feel like, hey, I'm actually quite proud of them. You know, when I first rode the Argus, now I told you I'm not athletic, so it was quite a surprise to many people that I actually rode the Argus. And I did it 3 times. Can you believe it? And when people said, well, congratulations, I thought, yeah, thanks. You know, when people said, well, I didn't know you could do that, I was like, yeah, thanks. I didn't sit and think, man, I consider it rubbish to knowing Christ. You know, my degrees, where I've been, I don't consider them rubbish. I'm proud of them. You know, and it's so challenging because Paul says, man, he was so much more advanced and so much more successful than I probably will ever be. And yet he says, man, that is rubbish compared to knowing Christ. It is so challenging. You know, we all have things we are proud of. But are the worldly things rubbish in comparison to your spiritual achievements? You know, do you think, man, wow, I grew a bit in my character last year? Or do you think, wow, I got a raise and I deserve it. And I hope everyone finds out about it. And we do. I mean, really, we boast so often about our worldly accomplishments. You know, people often say, oh, you must announce, you know, she got this, you know, she got a driver's license or she got this. And we don't often announce, wow, she's really grown in her kindness towards the poor. No, really, we don't. But maybe we should start saying that. You know, and I think the thing is worldliness seeps into every area, even into the church. And, I mean, being in the ministry is incredibly humbling. Because, like God, there is no measure of success. And I think when I first went into the ministry in America, I was a part of a really cranking campus ministry. You know, we were about 50 on campus. We would have our own campus services. So I jumped in, and of course, things were cranking. And I thought, woohoo! I must be successful. I must have it. I must have the secret. You know, and I think I've been in the ministry now for almost 12 years. And boy, there's been times where nothing happened. Actually, more people left than came. And I felt like such a failure. And you know what happens when I start feeling like I'm a failure? I start looking to the world. I think, man, if only I had a job where I could measure my success. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to be an accountant? Just fill in the figures. I know some of the accountants are like, no. You know, wouldn't it be great to do something that's more tangible? Because it seeps in that worldliness. It's not just stays outside the church. I mean, it comes into the church. I mean, I've been with many sisters who feel like, man, I'm a failure. You know, I try certain things, but then I get angry and then I mess it up. Or why don't I have a boyfriend? Why am I not married yet? Obviously, something's wrong with me. I'm not beautiful enough. Worldliness seeps into the church, and we've got to guard against it. So, in order to have a secure heart, we need to get our measure of success right. And I go back to Paul in Philippians 3, and I'm very encouraged by this scripture. He says, in 3 verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I appreciate it because he says, okay, I haven't really got to the point where everything is just rubbish, but I'm striving to that point. And I think that's what we've got to get to, that we've got to get to as we grow older as disciples, that our worldly success is rubbish, absolute rubbish, compared to our spiritual success. And I think it's a goal that we've got to keep striving for. So how do we do that? Let's see. I think the first thing that we've got to do is, I think we've got to make Jesus Lord of our life again. Now, I know that a lot of you have made Jesus Lord of your life, but I don't think making Jesus Lord of your life is a one thing. I think you've got to constantly recount the cost often. You know, I think as you grow, if you were converted in the teen ministry, you've got to count the cost when you hit campus. If you were converted in campus, you've got to recount the cost when you hit single life and the working world. When you get married, you've got to recount the cost. I mean, every step, you have to recount the cost. And even within certain periods, you've got to recount the cost numerous times. I think we've got to reprioritize our life. You know, what is important? I think it's so easy to want to compare our Christianity to other people and our walk with God to other people. You know, I think I've seen lately just how easy it is for people to miss church. Well, she missed church for that. Wow. Okay, so now is she the standard? You know, I think it's easy to feel like, well, she said this or she did that. But that's not the standard, sisters. The Bible's got to be our standard. What's the most important is your walk with God. It's not someone else's walk with God and what they're doing, because that's not the standard. And we've got to make sure we get our priorities right. Amen. You with me? I think another thing is we've got to regularly seek guidance from others. I know small groups are wonderful, and we're really enjoying them, and I hope you are as well. But I think what happens sometimes in small groups is the same people say the same things. I don't know if you've noticed. And I think it's important to have consistency, and it's important to have different people's input. But I think sometimes characters, there are people in the church with similar character to you, that it's good to go and ask them advice. Because we're not all made the same way. You know, some people are more emotional. So to go and ask advice from someone who's not emotional is not going to help you. Sometimes it's better to go ask advice from someone who is emotional. I think it's getting input from other people. One of the things I did with the UCT sisters is they are 8 sisters, or 7, one's about to get baptized, and they are all young Christians, and they're all in small group together. Now, I wonder what goes on in small group, because they're all like under a year old as a disciple. So I spoke to them about it, and I said to them, you need mentors. You need older women in your life. So I know they did come and ask some of you, and some said no, and that's fine, to be mentors in their life, that once a month you get together with them just to talk about, you know, advice and give them some input. And I think we all need that. We need to get advice from each other. Because I think what happens is, you know, sometimes when we are open with people who are very familiar with us, sometimes we don't get a challenge because they know you or whatever. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 3, verse 12, you first become sinful, then you become unbelieving. And it amazes me when people walk away from God and they don't believe in God anymore. And you think, how did that happen? And I think Hebrews 3 tells us, you first became sinful. And a lot of time it's that slow worldliness getting in. It's that, man, I want more money. Or I want that promotion. Or I want that guy to look at me. Or I want, and it just slowly progresses. And the next thing you think, man, is there even a God? And I've seen it. It's scary. I think another thing is learn from other people's battles. You know, everything that you have gone through, someone else has been through the exact same thing. I mean, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common from me. You know, and I think it's asking, if you are in a work environment that's very driven, that's very, they're pushing you and they're praising you, and you feel like you're feeling successful only at work, grab someone at church and say, man, this is what I'm feeling. I heard you went through a similar situation. Can you give me input of how I can feel successful in the church environment and not just at work? You're with me? Is everything okay? You know, the temptation to want to be successful has always been around, and it will always be around until the day we die, because that's how God has designed us. You know, in closing, I want to close off, but it's a special point to some of the older Christians, some of the older guys who have been around and who have really tried to make their walk with God, you know, their measure of success. Go over to Isaiah 49. Who of you has been a disciple over 8 years here? Okay, so this point is for everyone, but especially for you. I think many of you, especially the older guys, and even the younger ones, but especially the older ones, I think we have tried to pursue our walk with God. And I know that we have given up many things for our walk with God. We have given up jobs. We have given up boyfriends. We have given up money opportunities. We've given up going overseas or going traveling or you name it for God. And I think in Isaiah 49, verse 4a, just 4a, Isaiah says, but I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. You know, and sometimes we can feel that way. We can feel that, man, I have pursued being successful at church and nothing has happened, God, nothing. Maybe I'm still single. Maybe I come to church and I think, you know, these young Christians get baptized and they are song leading. And I've never been asked to song lead and I've got a great voice. I don't know what it is. But we can often feel that way. We can feel, why does all my labor seem for nothing? Have I spent my strength in vain? God, don't you see what I have given up for you? And I think the only way we can continue walking with God is if our truest desire of our hearts is just for God's glory. And we only care about our walk with God. And like Isaiah, in the end of 4, it says, yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. You see, spiritual success, and this is very challenging for me, and I do not think I have come here. I feel like I still need to, many years ahead of me. But spiritual success is about making it to heaven. It's about really what matters most is our walk with God, sisters. And no matter what anyone tells you, I think you've got to fight for your walk with God, no matter if success comes the way you thought it would come or not. Amen. So we're going to break into our groups now. Yeah, have a great time.